everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the SmackDown Summary. My name is Kenny McIntosh. This is episode 39. I am joined by Sondra. Hi, Sondra.
Hi, Kenny.
How are you?
I'm okay. I'm very tired. I'm still sick. I'm getting tired of being sick. And also, oh boy, this episode of SmackDown.
I'm going to try very hard to remain calm this episode. And I'm going to try as little as I possibly can say, what the fuck are they doing? But I will attempt to not lose my shit at the stupidest decision that they have ever fucking made. But
laughing makes me cough. This is a problem.
But it's SmackDown, so everything should be okay. I'm going to start you off, folks. This episode is a piece of shit. This is the worst episode of SmackDown since the draft. This episode, I
disagree. Episode 1 was a worse episode.
I watched episode 1 back today because I knew I was going to have this conversation. Episode 1's better.
Is it? This one wasn't good, for sure, but...
At the end of this one, it's Jinder fucking Mahal. At least the last one had Dolph Ziggler in it, which was mildly better.
Oh, I'm saying structured as an episode, though. I think episode 1 was worse.
Well, this was terrible. I cannot give this enough of a thumbs down. It is fucking atrocious.
Is it the one decision that makes it the worst episode of SmackDown ever, or is it the episode as a whole?
No, it's multiple things. There are multiple things that annoy me on this episode.
Because I have multiple issues with the episode as well.
Yeah, it's
possibly
not just
different
that.
Ones than you have. I don't know, because we haven't really talked about it.
I'm sure, but yeah, I'm just angry. Fuck SmackDown! Anyway, let's talk about the show.
What happened to our magical land?
We had to get fucking set on fire! Anyway.
It's all Randy Orton's fault.
It's in Louisville, Kentucky. Unfortunately, Jim Cornette didn't come down with a starter pistol and ruin the whole... and just, you know, finish everybody off. They're probably more entertaining television than some of the stupid, fucking, imbecilic decisions they made on this episode.
You're so angry.
Oh, God. The same belt that Hulk Hogan slammed Andre the Giant, that Mick Foley on January 4th, 1999 talked about, yo, Adrian, we did it, that Steve Austin and Bret Hart and John Cena and all these people, and now Jinder fucking Mahal?
Yep.
Oh my God, he's so shit.
Would you rather have Jinder Mahal be the number one contender or James Ellsworth be the number one contender again?
I would rather have Mojo Rawley be the number one contender. I would rather that you were the number one contender. Fucking dog shit. And then everyone tweets like, give it a chance, give it a chance. Listen, that's like saying, you know, oh, somebody's put a bunch of shit in your dinner. They've literally shat in your dinner. But give it a chance, you never know, it might be good. No, it won't! It's shit in a dinner, it's not going to be good!
We didn't start off the show with Jinder Mahal, though. We started off the show with Charlotte, which I was pretty excited to see, actually. I like Charlotte coming to the ring to start off the show.
I started off this show just happy. I was like, here's Charlotte, she's coming out.
I mean, we also had the great Superstar Shake-Up recap video at the beginning, and I was getting all sorts of happy feelings about it. I was like, yeah, the Superstar Shake-Up. Yeah, Kevin Owens is here. Yes, Sami Zayn is here. I'm really excited about that. I was really excited after the Superstar Shake-Up, actually. I was, right? Like,
so was I. So was everyone.
So was everyone. Everyone's really excited about it. And I loved the Superstar Shake-Up recap, showing Charlotte coming over, showing, you know, like, all the cool stuff. Like, it feels like an exciting time. Like, things are all new on SmackDown and all sorts of possibilities. And then Charlotte coming out to open the show. I like, you know, seeing a prominent women's segment open the show. I like that that felt normal. I like that we had an opening women's segment, and then we went to a segment featuring women again, like with Natalia and the next segment and whatnot. I was like, that's really cool. We're a good ways into this show, and we have only featured female performers predominantly. I mean, yeah, Shane McMahon was there, but I don't know. What do you think of the opening segment and Charlotte coming out to basically declare herself as number one contender or ask for a number one contendership spot because she's the queen and she's Charlotte and she's friggin' amazing?
This was one of only two good things on this show. Everything else, dog shit. This was really good. Charlotte comes out. She's, flaunting how much of a dick she is. She's talking about how, you know, she should be the champion. She should get a title opportunity. She's already impatient. It's been 7 days.
Really, I love that promo. She's so impatient after 1 week.
Yeah, of course she would be. And she and that's great. And then Naomi comes out and we feel the glow. Sadly, popperless, but we still do. And she, you know, they have a back and forth. And then they start brawling. And, you know, it's a really hot opening segment where you are... All the pieces are put together for Charlotte and Naomi to have a heated rivalry. And then Shane McMahon comes out and makes a non-title match that if Charlotte can win, she would be the number one contender. So I like the storyline. I like the sense that it made. And I thought that the women showed some good heat in the segment. So a big thumbs up for this opening segment from me.
Yeah, I liked it as well. I don't always love the tired trope of, okay, you're going to face the champion, and then if you can beat the champion, then you can win a chance to face the champion and beat the champion again. Like, I much prefer a number one contender's match so that you can build the drama and kind of hold off the confrontation and, you know, tell a story that way. But I get what they're doing, and this is just something that WWE does quite a bit. I like at least that it wasn't just... oh, she pinned the women's champion in a non-title match out of the blue, and so now she's the number one contender. At least this match was made for a chance to become the number one contender. So Shane was presenting Charlotte with an opportunity, you know, like a SmackDown land of opportunity. Get into more of that later. But, I mean, I was into the confrontation between Naomi and Charlotte, though. I don't know if I've ever changed my mind on a performer as quickly as I have with Naomi. Like, maybe Tyson Kidd in NXT is another example when I was like, he is the worst, I don't like him, blah, blah, blah. He just, like, I didn't get it. And then all of a sudden he was amazing because he started spouting facts and talking about his cats all the time. And, like, even when Naomi had her Feel the Glow entrance, for the first start of SmackDown, I still was kind of like, no, I'm just not feeling it. Like, in ring, I just don't think she's that good. She just doesn't connect with me that much. But she's really stepped it up, I think, especially since coming back from her injury and especially since winning the women's title the first time. I think she's gotten a lot better in the ring, and I have to give her props for that. I think she's really improving, and I think part of that is being able to work with women who are good in the ring and being given time to actually improve and have these matches and have them mean something. I think performers like Naomi, who are incredibly naturally gifted, like they always talk about how athletic Naomi is. I think it's kind of an overly talked about talking point with Naomi because, like, oh, look, she's athletic. She jumps and stuff. But I think she is very naturally talented. And so I think being given the chance to improve constantly is really helping, and it's really showing, and I think she's connecting to the crowd. And Charlotte is probably the best female performer we've seen in ages and ages and ages. Like, Bayley's still my favorite, but Charlotte is the best.
Yeah, and Naomi showed some really good fire here, where she was given as good as Charlotte gave, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was good. I really enjoyed it. We then go backstage to Natalia, the worst actress of all time.
Yep.
She's angry that Charlotte's getting an opportunity before her. You know, she then spouts the Bret Hart line. She's the best there is, best there was, blah, blah. Carmella comes up with James Ellsworth.
The worst actor of all time.
The worst actor of all time. So, that, you know, it's screen time to be competed for here. And Carmella says she should be champ. Then Tamina walks in, big time snooker. Fuck. as if things aren't bad enough. And she wants an opportunity, but then they all got together and they have a plan, and it's all, you know, they should be blaming Charlotte, and they've got a plan, so they go off to kind of make their plan. And it seems that their plan was to stand backstage
and stare at Charlotte.
That was the plan that they had. Now, I want to try in this episode to defend why, because the one episode of SmackDown that I have not covered in the whole run of this show is the first episode, which I watched again today.
No, there was one David and I did too. I don't remember which one it was, but
you could have just let me have that, Sonia. But anyway, the one that I remember that I didn't do
before you get tweets about it, though. I mean,
okay, that's true. Yeah, okay. But the reason I think the first episode is better than this one is that the first episode didn't have, like, a stellar talent roster to choose from. It was a bare roster, and they had a thread throughout the night where Apollo Crews won a battle royal, like a jobber battle royal. Mm-hmm. He won it, to get into a six-pack challenge to go into SummerSlam. So they were building Apollo Crews at the time, who was at that point not as kind of like, oh God, go away, as he is now.
He was more of a blank slate.
A blank slate, and they gave him a win. That was cool to see. He gets into this six-pack challenge. We had Natalya and Becky Lynch having a match because they'd had a rivalry at that point. We had the thing where, you know, Eva Marie comes out and does her introduction and does nothing. The Miz did a Miz TV. It was really fun. And then it led in, with Randy Orton there, and it led into a match with them. And then we had some comedy with Heath Slater. And then we had the six-pack challenge, which was really fun. And, you know, I think it was like Cena, Ziggler, Apollo, AJ Styles, Baron Corbin, and I think it was Bray Wyatt in the match. And it's really fun, and it's interesting. And then obviously Dolph Ziggler wins, which we weren't expecting. But, it was an attempt to reinvigorate somebody who was a former world champion at one point in his career, had been very over with the crowd. Remember this sentence. Had been very over with the crowd. Dolph Ziggler had been very over. I'm going to say it one more time. Dolph Ziggler had been very over with the crowd. That episode, in principle, it's not the best at all. And I can understand why you guys were frustrated by it. Because it had, like, you know, next to no star power on it.
And it was supposed to be this brand new, fresh start of SmackDown. And it was supposed to be this new, awesome thing. Plus, Raw had just killed it and blown it out of the water.
Yes. So. But I think that with the pieces that they had to play with, they did an okay job. Wasn't great, wasn't terrible, it was fine.
I think it was terrible. I stand
this show,
it.
This show is far worse. Because up next, we get the six-pack challenge.
Why was this on, like, so early in the night, by the way? Doesn't it seem like the number one contenders match should be a big thing? Like, SmackDown's been really oddly paced some of the time lately with this.
Do you know why it's at this place? Because of who won it. It's not a main event. It's like, Jinder Mahal is not a main eventer at all. I'm baffled by this. Somebody made a joke to me last night, like, oh, you know Jinder's going to win it. And I was like, that's so ridiculous that I just can't get it. So,
you know, it's funny, though, because looking at all of the participants in the match, looking at it beforehand, even before my friend spoiled the outcome of it while I was still at work, even though I tell people all the time that I work on Tuesday nights, so don't text me results of things. Thanks.
I would delete that person's text. Or delete, like, do something to mute the person.
He's going
to
be muted during wrestling events from now on. But, yeah, so even before I knew the outcome of the match, I looked at it and I was like, I got a feeling that Jinder was going to win. And I didn't say this to you because I knew it would just send you into rage, right? But, and I figured that, you know, maybe it won't happen and maybe we won't have to deal with that type of rage and maybe it'll be okay. But the reason I looked at it and I was like, Mojo Rawley's a babyface. Sami Zayn is a babyface. Luke Harper is the coolest motherfucker on the planet, but he's a babyface. Dolph Ziggler is shit. Eric Rowan, I didn't think it was going to be Eric Rowan because Eric Rowan, right? Like, they've done more to try and present Jinder Mahal as a star than they have Eric Rowan, who just came back from injury and should be a really cool big deal, and they should be making something out of these confrontations between Luke Harper and Eric Rowan, because the Wyatt family explosion kind of a thing, right? Like, Luke Harper fighting Eric Rowan should feel like a big deal, because Eric Rowan was gone when the Wyatt family split. Eric Rowan left due to injury, and he wasn't a part of this whole Luke Harper, Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt tension, drama, family splitting, Randy Orton getting in their heads, all of that. Eric Rowan wasn't a part of it. So finding out Eric Rowan's reaction to the Wyatt family splitting and finding out Eric Rowan's motivations going forward, that was something I was really, really interested to see. And you know what we've gotten? Nothing. Nothing at all. Eric Rowan teamed with Bray Wyatt on the SmackDown after Mania and lost. And, that's it so far. Like, that's all we've gotten, and it's so frustrating because the Wyatt story was so good for so long. And why aren't we finding out anything about Eric Rowan and what he thinks, and why isn't, like, why can't we build something between Luke Harper and Eric Rowan, maybe? Like, make it a confrontation. Make it something interesting. Doesn't it seem like we deserve that?
I know how much you want that, and I accept that that is a thing, and I would not be opposed to it. This is my issue. The first episode of SmackDown, the reason I defend it more than this, is that this show, going into this six-pack challenge for the number one contendership, which is ironic because the main event of the first ever episode was a six-pack challenge. That's why I'm trying to mirror these two so often.
Mm-hmm.
This roster has Nakamura, AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn,
Baron Corbin, Ty Dillinger,
Baron Corbin, Ty Dillinger, Luke Harper. You've got seven people there, just right at the beginning off the top of your tongue. And I think that Jinder Mahal was the worst choice in this match to win. And like somebody tweeted me last night, and he was like, you're just a mark because you wanted Sami Zayn to win. I didn't necessarily think Sami Zayn should have won this. I just thought anyone but this fucking atrocity, Jinder Mahal should win. Here's why. Luke Harper, one of the most underutilized talents on the roster, has great matches, has a really unique look, should be utilized better. Eric Rowan, he's a bag of shit in the ring, but he is a character. He was part of the Wyatts. It would make sense as part of the story. Mojo Rawley,
yeah,
he's an absolute...
Eric Rowan versus Randy Orton would be really interesting drama at this point. Go on.
It would be a good way to finish the Wyatt thing. Mojo Rawley, he is a spaz, but he won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal and he's got a celeb pal. I would at least understand it, if not be happy about it. Dolph Ziggler is a former World Heavyweight Champion, and he's actually not too bad in the ring if he's stale as fuck. But that could have been fine. I would have taken that. Or Sami Zayn. I understand why it's not Sami Zayn, because he's a babyface, and you might not want to do that to him yet. But you're telling me that the best that they could come up with is Jinder fucking Mahal?
See, my problem is less with Jinder Mahal winning and more with the match as a whole existing in the place that it existed because of exactly what you're saying. We're saying that honor... I mean, something a coworker and I were discussing last night, it almost seems like they've just swapped the United States and world title scenes, right? Because in the United States title scene, and we'll get to it in a little bit, but we have AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens at Backlash for the United States title. That match should absolutely be the main event of that show because that's the biggest match. And I don't think it will be the main event. I think they'll probably put Randy Orton versus Jinder fucking Mahal on last. But it doesn't make any sense because, I mean, on a roster where you have Shinsuke Nakamura, and they're building to Shinsuke Nakamura's in-ring debut, right? We have the video package later in the show kind of building him as a big star. But you have Shinsuke Nakamura waiting for a title shot. You have AJ Styles, who's tied up with the U.S. title, so I understand why he wasn't in the match on that sort of level. But still... AJ Styles should absolutely be going for the world title because AJ Styles, again, former world heavyweight champion, someone new like Ty Dillinger, who is clearly a big favorite with the crowd. The problem is that they're all baby faces, so many of them, right? And they consider Randy Orton a baby face, even though he's totally not, because look what he did. He's the worst. Boo, Randy Orton. But they consider Randy Orton a baby face right now, and there just aren't heels, apparently. So... I don't know. It seems like it would have been a better idea to have a babyface confrontation. And instead, we're getting Shinsuke Nakamura versus Dolph Ziggler, I'm guessing, because that's the confrontation they keep building and they keep doing dark matches of. That just, I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to me to have someone like, I mean, as much as I, you know, Eric Rowan is shit in the ring. He's gotten a little bit better, but he's pretty shit in the ring. But at least, like you say, he's a character and he's someone that I'm still kind of invested in, right? As part of the Wyatt clan. It doesn't make sense to have him in a world title number one contenders match, though. I mean, something I will grant you about episode one of SmackDown Summary, I guess Apollo Crews had to earn his way into the number one contenders match. No one here was earning their way into the number one contenders match. It was like the draws. I don't understand. The thing I understand the least of all of this is why Baron Corbin was not in this and why Baron Corbin didn't win the number one contender shot. Because Baron Corbin, they've actually been building up to be a star.
And you know, one of the arguments that's come over to me is, you know, maybe they don't want to, you know, give away all the big matches straight away. That's fine. I still think there's a better choice than this because I don't mean this. I know it's going to sound negative as fuck. There's no way for me to say this nicely. Jinder Mahal's not over. He never has been. He's been treated like a jobber. Now, if he had been at least pushed in some way, and you know, yeah, he was in the Battle Royal, but you know, it was a joke, really. You know, it was a jobber battle royal. It wasn't really... After Braun Strowman and Sami Zayn and Big Show had gone out, it was really kind of a jobber battle royal towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't really take it seriously, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he's the number one contender. We're going to have a month of build for this, and then, to make things even better, he has a heel faction with him in the Bollywood Boys. The Bollywood Boys, what I loved about them was, they've got a cool entrance, they do some sort of Bollywood dancing, which is really fun, but no, what the storyline is here is, America doesn't like diversity, and Jinder Mahal is going to be the new American dream. So basically, Jinder Mahal is the heel who is being persecuted because he's not American, but he's the heel, not the babyface. An angle that has been done time and time again to limited amounts of success. The last time they did an angle like this was Muhammad Hassan, when they went so far to have guys with balaclavas on their face kidnapping The Undertaker the day after the 7/7 bombings in London, and he got taken off TV and was never allowed to be back on. This is shit. It is like Chicago, Illinois, home of the submission match that Bret Hart and Steve Austin had at WrestleMania 13 that we covered on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And now the WWE title is going to be Randy Orton versus Jinder Mahal?
See, and the weird thing for me is that on paper, if it were not Jinder Mahal, who I'm just not invested in, I would kind of like this in a way. So this is the devil's advocate argument. It's going to end with me saying, but it's still Jinder Mahal and I still don't like him. But this is the devil's advocate argument. I've been saying for a long time, especially regarding the tag division on SmackDown, because it has been shite. Like, don't listen to Renee Young when she's like, the tag division is so stacked here, as she interviews the Colognes on Talking Smack. No, the tag division is not stacked. It is not stacked at all. It is terrible. It has been terrible. And it's maybe getting slightly better and more interesting right now. We shall see. I have some issues with that, too. But Jinder Mahal being someone plucked out of obscurity, kind of like Heath Slater was plucked out of obscurity, right? I think the difference comes down to, for me, I like Heath Slater. I don't like Jinder Mahal. Jinder Mahal was the least interesting man in 3MB. I stand by it. But Jinder Mahal being kind of plucked out of obscurity from jobberdom on Raw, right? I kind of like, in theory, taking someone who's been underused and not featured and actually presenting them like a star and seeing what happens. I like the idea that people on SmackDown get opportunities like this. I like the idea that SmackDown is the land of opportunity. I like the idea that anything can happen. I kind of, in the end of the match, I like the fact that Jinder Mahal had to win via interference from the Bollywood Boys. And he, on Talking Smack, he was so over the top when he was like, and I did it all by myself. All by myself, I did it. All by myself. And it took Renee and Shane like 3 times to be like, oh, wait, you're trying to cue us to be like, oh, no, you didn't do it all by yourself, did you? Because he didn't. Because now they're just calling them the Singh brothers helped him out, right? I kind of like the fact that he won in such a smarmy way. I don't like the fact that his finisher is really shitty and he just won over Sami Zayn with a really shitty finisher, because that pisses me off. But maybe it's supposed to piss me off. Maybe we're being worked here. Maybe we're supposed to be angry. Maybe it's a way for us to cheer Randy Orton. I'm not going to cheer Randy Orton. I'm not going to cheer Jinder Mahal. I'm just going to boo this match by sitting there probably and just like looking at my fingernails because I just don't really want to see it. On paper, I should like this sort of thing. So there's a part of me that's like, I do kind of want to give it a chance. I do kind of want to see what happens, but it feels more like something I have to get through than something I'm really going to enjoy.
Yeah, I would agree. It's terrible. It's just, and like, the thing is, I do understand, if you like this, it's totally fine. You know, this is just my opinion. I'm not saying my opinion is right or wrong at all. But I think this is terrible. And I think that it's like, I'm trying to give you an example. It's like if you have, you know, you're doing a movie and you've got like Meryl Streep and Robert De Niro and, I don't know, Adam Sandler. You've got all these, you know, names. You go, okay, that we can make something good out of this. And then in comes like, I don't know, I can't even think of an example. I'm so angry I can't think of examples. For the UK, it's like bringing Mr. Blobby into the film. And she'd be like, yeah, we'll put him in it. That'll work. Will it? And people seem to be leaping to Jinder's defense. Now, don't get me wrong. I love nothing more than a good don't hinder Jinder joke. I'm a big fan of it. I love a Kinder Surprise chocolate egg and somebody's got a Kinder Mahal chocolate egg. I laughed a lot. It's very funny. But nobody was screaming his praises before. Not one person has tweeted me in the past saying he's good. But now people are coming at the woodwork like he's fucking Luthez. And then he was on, like, I'm sorry, can we just talk about the fucking elephant in the room? Look at his fucking body. What is going on?
I'm so tired of them mentioning what good shape he's in and how he's in the best condition of his life and how he diets and trains so hard.
He looks like an Indian Bane. And Bane died young from steroids.
Yes. Yep.
Oh god, and you know, I don't know the exact name. I know the Twitter account, Karan R1993. I think that's his account name.
I think it's Karan MR, isn't it?
Okay. He had tweeted out, you know, that apparently WWE are, you know, looking to expand into India and this should be good for Indian fans. And he's like, I'm an Indian fan and it's not good. And I'm like, thank you. Thank you for speaking out. It's not a racism thing. It's not that I'm like, oh, how dare they push an Indian guy. If you listen back to all the previous Inside the Ropes, there are times in the past where I've defended Jinder Mahal. And I've said, you know, could they have given him a gimmick that didn't involve him in a turban being a stereotypical heel?
Well, yeah, because that would be ideal, is to have him not be a stereotypical heel. And I think part of the problem here is that he is being a stereotypical heel. And it's not my favorite. We'll get to it with Kevin Owens. I am pretty darn pissed about some things about Kevin Owens right now. But just, I was reading through my wrestling news, and I follow Wrestling Inc. on my RSS feeds or whatever. They had an interesting Jinder Mahal stat. So the last time that Jinder Mahal was on SmackDown, this was his first televised match on SmackDown since losing to El Torito on May 27, 2014, Kenny.
Didn't he have a match last week with Mojo Rawley?
Oh, yeah. The match last week was the first televised match.
Okay. So in his second match, what a fucking triple threat there. He loses to El Torito. He loses to Mojo Rawley. And now he's the number one contender for the World Heavyweight Championship.
His last televised victory on SmackDown was October 9, 2012, when he teamed with Heath Slater to defeat Santino Marella and Zack Ryder.
But give it a chance, Sondra. You never know. They're doing something different. It could be good.
Well, it's I think this is the problem, and this is something that I feel like you have more of a problem with than I do, because you always see the prestige of the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, where I think I just came into wrestling when the belts were always treated like shit, so I don't get as up in arms about these things. But I feel like the WWE Championship meant a lot when AJ Styles held it. And when Bray Wyatt won it, it was a really big deal for me. And I felt like it still meant a lot then. Part of that might just be my blindness, because I love Bray Wyatt so much. But it feels like it's just gone into the doldrums. And to have someone who has been treated like such a jobber, right? Like, such a jobber, like Jinder Mahal, and now he's the number one contender for the WWE Championship. And this is different to the Ellsworth situation for me, because Ellsworth was never actually, like, a serious threat to AJ Styles. Like, I'll stand by the fact that, like, he beat him three times still doesn't bother me because of the way it happened, and it was just, like, a funny talking point. Like, yeah, so I have these victories over you. I know it bothered you a lot more than it did me. But when James Ellsworth actually got the WWE title shot, it was like, yeah, right, Ellsworth, okay. And then AJ Styles did what he had to do, and he squished him, and that was that. And if this doesn't go that way with Randy Orton just squishing Jinder Mahal and being like, no, seriously? Seriously? Because Jinder Mahal doesn't deserve this chance. He couldn't even win it without outside interference. So I don't know if we're meant to actually take him as a serious contender. I know he thinks that he's a serious contender, but it doesn't feel like he's an actual serious threat to Randy Orton at this point.
I can't even say that. It feels like he might beat him. And that would just be
I don't know.
I feel like I'm sitting in a comedy club and a comedian makes a really terrible joke and there's a bunch of morons sitting at the table beside me cackling away. And I'm just going, I don't get it. Like, this isn't funny. Like, I just don't get it. And you know what? Props to Jinder Mahal for taking loads of steroids. Well done. I'm glad that it's got you as far. No, you know what? Like, he did this thing on Talking Smack. I almost fell asleep. Shane McMahon just started talking over him because he was so dull.
He's very dull. He's not that engaging. He's okay at speaking. Like, he's all right.
He's cotton socks. He seems like a nice guy. And I've heard that he's a nice guy. And I feel bad for shitting on him so much. But it's just like, I'm baffled, Sonia. I can't understand what's happening. It's like, first we had Trump as president, then we had Brexit.
Well,
now
Brexit
we had Jinder
came
Mahal.
First, but yeah.
Well, you know, Brexit, Trump, and now this. Just get the nooks out. Just finish it.
They're working on
what's
it.
What's the point? Then Orton came out afterwards to size up the competition. and you know, who cares? Then Bray Wyatt does a promo again, you know, just a usual Bray Wyatt promo.
I wish I could be into this Orton Wyatt thing still in the House of Horrors match, and I wish I could look forward to it. And
which is apparently not for the championship.
What? Yes, it is.
Nope, apparently not. News has been leaked today that apparently on WWE's website it is no longer listed as a WWE title match. So that's why Jinder Mahal is now the number one contender for the title.
Then why did they say on Talking Smack that he would face the winner of Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton?
I read something on Twitter today, so maybe, I don't know.
Changed it since yesterday, I don't know. Well then, what's even the point? Although, if it's not for the title, then Bray Wyatt could win. That would be nice. I would like Bray Wyatt to win a thing. I would really like Bray Wyatt to win a thing. Because the way this story is going, what I was going to say before I found out this non-title news, was that it feels like another situation where Bray Wyatt builds this thing, and Bray Wyatt's like, ooh, I'm really spooky, and Bray Wyatt's like, oh, look how creepy I'm going to be. You have no idea what you're getting yourself into, Randy. And then Bray Wyatt just loses, and whatever, like the ring becoming maggots, and that, like, I loved that because I was like, that's really cool, but it didn't affect Randy Orton, so what's the point? Like, if Bray Wyatt can't affect people by being creepy, and if Bray Wyatt can't affect people by being ridiculous, and if Bray Wyatt doesn't react to the times that he loses these things, then we just get back into my depths of despair regarding Bray Wyatt. It's very difficult to be his fan.
I just went into WWE's website there. Yeah, it's not listed as a title match.
Maybe WWE Bray champion. Wyatt can win then. Yay.
That'd be good. I actually think it's better to not be a title match, so at least Bray Wyatt can win something.
Yeah.
Maybe the Maharaja will help him win. Fuck's sake.
I don't want him involved in this.
I don't want... Anyway, I'm not gonna shit him anymore. Then I thought, you know, it's all okay, because even though, you know, the WWE title has basically been set on fire, Nakamura's coming up next. I thought, well, that's good. At least I've got Nakamura. And then he wasn't coming up next. It was just a video package. Very good video package, but it just made me want Nakamura.
Yeah.
It just
reminds us that Nakamura is not involved in the world title picture, and Jinder Mahal is.
What a fucking world. AJ Styles was interviewed backstage. You know, I'd been asked if he'd prefer to face Owens or Jericho. He said it didn't matter because he had the home field advantage. Because SmackDown is obviously the house that AJ Styles built. Corbin interjects.
He's not wrong.
Corbin interjects, ends up that Styles offers to beat him again tonight. Corbin accepts, so that's our main event. And then we have the...
Looking forward to that. That feels like a main event, doesn't it? AJ Styles versus Baron Corbin?
Compared to what we just saw, different world. Different world. Then Natalia, Tamina, and Carmella ruthlessly carried out their plan
to stare at Charlotte.
Great. Really glad we got that.
I don't understand. I just don't really understand how that is a plan.
Like, it's not a plan.
It's not.
It's a bad plan.
You're not doing anything.
Then we get Charlotte coming out against Naomi. Thank God. At least there's one other decent thing in this fucking show. So they have a match that goes almost 15 minutes. Really, really good. I didn't realize Naomi was going to be as good as she was in this.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that she was like, you know, it wasn't a 5-star classic or anything, but I thought that she did really well. And they had a really good match. In the end, Charlotte would get the natural selection. I didn't really like the way the natural selection was hit, because it didn't really seem to do much to Naomi.
Well, that's the problem with the natural selection in general, right? Like, it's not a very hard bump. It's your face is going into the mat, but not from very high up or anything. So sometimes it just doesn't look like the most impressive move. It's one of those times where you just have to be like, but that is a finishing move, so wrestling.
Yeah, and then but you know, I actually think it's okay for Charlotte to get the win in a non-title to lead to the title match, because you know you're I guess in theory you're supposed to think, well, Charlotte could beat the champion. She's got that win. It kind of gives her a little bit of pedigree again, because obviously she kind of jobbed on the way out on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I thought it was good. I thought it did what it needed to do. It made Naomi a bit of a vulnerable champion. It made Charlotte a big contender again. I enjoyed the match.
I just feel like it's an overused thing in WWE, the whole, like, oh, you have a win over the champion. And so I think if it weren't so overused, then I would not have as much of an issue with it. And I don't even really have a big issue with it, because I like that at least the match was made with a purpose. So it made sense in what it was doing. And I thought the match was good. I think, you know, is Naomi on the level of Charlotte or Natalia or Becky Lynch or Mickie James or someone, like, in terms of her wrestling, like, in-ring wrestling technical ability? No, not necessarily. But I think that when given the right opponent, she's given the chance to learn and improve. And like I said before, I've become a big Naomi fan. I really like this, and I'm excited to see the match again. Apparently it's next week. I thought that they were setting it up for Backlash, but they're just having it next week again for reasons, I guess. I don't know why they're doing that so quickly.
Yeah, I guess they have other plans for Backlash, and that's why the idea was to do it here.
That makes me curious if Charlotte's going to win it next week.
But it's okay though, Sandra, because, you know, Natalia and Carmella and Tamina realized that, you know, our plan's not exactly what it should be. So we should stare at
Charlotte. Now,
I've
seen multiple people on Twitter ask me, and I've barely been able to get to Twitter today. I've had a lot of other things going on, so I just haven't really had a chance to respond. But I've seen multiple people postulating that Charlotte is going to turn face, that, you know, the Tamina, Carmella, Natalia trio is going to turn on her and turn her baby face in the process or something. And I'm not super sure if I like it.
I mean, it's difficult to root against Charlotte when she is against those three, but maybe, I mean, Natalia is the sort of person that she can turn face and heel about three times per episode.
True, and she does regularly. But I feel like Charlotte is just such a good heel. And I figured that since Alexa Bliss, you know, was kind of the top heel on SmackDown, and then Charlotte was coming in as kind of the top heel on SmackDown, she's still being a dick. I don't want to see her turn face. I want to see her remain a heel and remain the queen and remain evil. Because I like her being evil. And if that can lead to Charlotte versus Becky Lynch, potentially, that would be my ideal scenario.
Charlotte's much better as a heel. She should stay heel. But I don't mind if she does something short term where she stays the Charlotte character and she just so happens to be the babyface because she's beaten up Natalia or whatever, and then just goes back to being, you know, the same. Like, as long as it's just basically she's feuding with someone. Mm-hmm. And she's not really changing. She's not, you know, high-fiving babies or anything.
Yeah, because I just feel like Naomi and Becky Lynch have the babyface thing kind of locked down right now on SmackDown. Like, I like them as babyfaces. I don't think that Charlotte needs to turn face and usurp them, I suppose. I think she's a better heel foe, because I think we need a top heel foe, because the other heels are Natalia, Carmella, and apparently Tamina.
Apparently Tamina, she's back! Then we, fuck's sake, Primo and Epico are in the ring.
They're not the Shining Stars anymore, they're just the Colognes.
Which is dull beyond belief.
And they don't even have Rosa Mendez anymore. But they beat American Alpha.
Yeah, they beat American Alpha in 5 minutes. So get the guns to your head, folks.
I'm so angry about this. You're angry about gender. I'm angry about this. American Alpha are one of my favorite tag teams ever. I love them. I have been in love with Chad Gable forever. I have been in love with Jason Jordan for not quite as long, but quite a while, because he's so good with Chad Gable, right? Like, they are a great team. They're great wrestlers. They're incredibly entertaining. They connect with the crowd. You wouldn't know it from the way they're not connecting with the SmackDown crowds, apparently, because of the way they've been booked. And I think that this is really down to booking and not down to the performers in this case, because they've barely been featured on TV. Every time they started to get momentum, I mean, from SmackDown Episode 1, when they weren't even on the fucking show, when they were one of the top draft picks, right? It's been really frustrating, the case of American Alpha on SmackDown. Most people, I would say, benefited from the draft, and I think the draft has been a huge success. I think American Alpha has been hurt by it significantly, not being put in a division where they had any competition for a long time. And then just the timing with them just seems so terrible. And now they're being used as fodder for the freaking Colognes? I mean, I understand, and again, on paper, I've been asking for them to push teams that haven't necessarily been featured so that we can build a tag team division. If this builds a tag team division and leads to American Alpha finally being victorious, then fine. Part of the problem is that I can't be completely objective about it because I'm a huge American Alpha fan and I really want to see them win and I really want to see them be featured. And it's incredibly frustrating that they haven't been featured. And the Clones, like, yeah, they are a team that it makes sense if you're going to try and rehabilitate a team. They're good wrestlers. They're fine. They're kind of dull, but they can be good. Like, I can get into them in ring. They can have good matches. But why did they have to beat American Alpha, Kenny? I love American Alpha so much. And I know that they're former tag team champions, and they mentioned that on Talking Smack. Like, they're kind of the Dolph Ziggler thing that you were talking about in SmackDown Episode 1, where Dolph Ziggler was a former World Heavyweight Champion. I don't know if the Clones, I would ever say, were super over with the crowd. I mean...
No, they were not.
These are the guys who, when managed by Abraham Washington, just let their number one contendership spot ride out because Abraham Washington forgot to get them their number one contendership match or whatever. Like, he forgot to give them a title match, so it just ran out. That was before Rose Mendez, I think. But the Colognes were never super over with the crowd. They are former tag team champions, so you can kind of push that and be like, yeah, so they used to be a thing back in 2012.
5 years ago.
5 years ago. Listen to Classic ITR, actually, on Patreon. Patreon.com/InsideTheRopes. They are in the era of Primo and Epico as the WWE Tag Team Champions.
Lord help us.
You guys weren't that thrilled about it back then for some reason, and I'm not thrilled about it now.
Because they're shit! Like, they're fine in the ring, but they're so bland, they're so dull. They were the Colognes, then they were the Matadors, at least they had a midget in an El Matador costume. And then they were the Shining Stars, and that was bollocks, but at least they had a funny theme tune, and they were selling timeshares.
I kind of missed the timeshares, to be honest. I mean, at least that was a thing.
And it's like, oh yeah, but do you know what we'll do? We'll strip them of all personalities so they become nothing, and then we'll just have them beat American Alpha. Great story.
Yeah,
good job,
wonderful.
Guys.
And I mean, where does that leave... Like, are they building the heel Colognes to be number one contenders to the heel Usos? I don't really understand what's going on. And part of this is I do need to let it play out, and I do need to see what happens. And this episode was just kind of bad.
Kinda?
It was bad.
Fucking hell. This was terrible. Primo and fucking Epico. Oh, God. So, then we get a recap of Jinder Mahal's victory. So that if the blood clot hadn't gone directly to my heart yet, just speed up. Then we get Ty Dillinger interviewed backstage again. The good people, where are they? Please bring them to
the
live.
Not in the ring, apparently. They're just backstage.
He was asked about debuting on SmackDown. There was a video package that was going to explain it. It was good, but he's not there. So, you know, good. All the people that we want to see, they're not there.
Not on this episode.
All the people that are shite are beating all the people who are decent. But we have Kevin Owens to save the day. Kevin Owens comes out. I'm going to throw this to Sandra because she's very annoyed. He comes out to do the first ever Face of America Open Challenge. And he faces Gary Gandhi, I think his name was.
Yeah,
and he
like
beats
that.
Him in like 30 seconds with a pop-up powerbomb. And he was going to commentate the main event. But you're very annoyed about this, Sandra. Why are you annoyed?
I'm annoyed because Kevin Owens is a fantastic heel. Kevin Owens is a multifaceted dickhead of a character, right? Kevin Owens, who can't stand Sami Zayn and can't stand that Sami Zayn is always going to be connected with him. Kevin Owens, the former Universal Champion. Kevin Owens, who is such a great heel, is now just relying on being the face of America and being like, lol, I'm Canadian, so hate me because I'm not from here. Doesn't that seem super lazy? Especially when Jinder Mahal is doing the exact same thing? Because he's also just a Canadian who's not from here?
Given that it's...
Kevin Owens and Jinder Mahal have the same gimmick right now, Kenny. I'm not okay with it. Kevin Owens is so much better than this.
I mean, I love Kevin Owens. So just as long as he's here to sort of balance out the absolute dog shit atrocity that is SmackDown Live right now, then I'm just happy to have him there. no matter what he's doing. But I do grant you, it's lazy.
It's just...
it's very lazy.
It's just disheartening. And, I mean, Kevin Owens is great at this. Of course he is. He's great at everything. He's great at everything he does. It's not making me want to boo him, though. It's just making me go, oh, but this is kind of boring. And why do you have the same gimmick as Jinder fucking Mahal? You're on the same show.
Can I draft myself away? Like, just, where's the fucking Kamala bowling ball?
Do you understand now? You know, I want, ladies and gentlemen, Kenny gave Robert and me some shit for SmackDown Summary Episode 1, right? Which I maintain was a pretty fantastic episode at the SmackDown Summary. Negative as we were, we deserve to be negative about that show because it was a pile of shite. Listen to what Kenny is doing here. Do you understand now, Kenny, what we were faced with here? This is how we felt.
The difference between what you were faced with and what we're faced with now is they, back then, there's nothing they could do better with the people that had been drafted.
Well, I think there was. They could have put American Alpha on that show. They could have done something with them.
I mean, that wouldn't have really done much to change that fucking show.
Well, that was the moment where my heart just, like, completely sank in that episode. It was like, oh, they're not even on this show. Great. SmackDown hates me and everything is terrible.
But look at this show. No Ty Dillinger, no Nakamura.
Ty Dillinger he was there. He just didn't wrestle. No Nakamura, just a video package.
You say, oh, you know, they should have American Alpha. They had American Alpha here. They get beat by fucking Los Matadores.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't good.
Probably be better to just keep them at home. So Kevin Owens is there. He also has a Titantron, which doesn't mention that he was Universal Champion. Great.
No, it doesn't at all. It says, the face of America beat Chris Jericho at WrestleMania to become the United States champion. Doesn't mention that he was a former Universal champion at all. Like, and that's something that kind of bugs me too. Shouldn't they be trying to build up the United States championship by saying, and Kevin Owens did this on commentary, but I don't think WWE itself is doing a great job of presenting it. It's like, oh yeah, this guy actually was the main champion on Raw for months. He's the longest reigning Universal Champion, and now he's the United States Champion. So it feels like a big deal. And I like that he's doing the open challenge thing, and I think it's really funny that he's doing the open challenge thing just to jobbers. Unlike, you know, when John Cena did the open challenge, he had kick-ass matches with the likes of, you know, Stardust and Antonio Cesaro and Adrian Neville and all sorts of people, and it was great, and Kevin Owens fights Gary Gandy. Because Kevin Owens is a dickhead and he's not going to want to put his United States Championship up for real.
Nope.
So I like that. I mean, I love Kevin Owens. I love what he's doing in the sense that he's good at it. It just really frustrates me that they're leaning on the whole I'm not from here thing when he's so good at being a heel for so many other reasons.
Just to make things better... apparently the Bollywood Boys are not going to be called the Bollywood Boys.
No, they're the Singh Brothers now.
The Singh Brothers. So, you know, just take whatever people have got this character and just get rid of it. Because, you know...
Well, they can't really be the Bollywood Boys and be heels. I mean, it's too fun with dancing.
At least that would give me some fun. Don't I deserve a little fun?
It's not supposed to be
fun.
To watch this? They're heels, Kenny. We're supposed to boo them now, apparently. I actually find that whole thing, like when the now Singh brothers showed up, that was actually kind of intriguing to me. I was like, oh, this is a reason that I could be actually kind of more into this. If it weren't for the WWE title, if that six-pack challenge had been for the United States Championship instead of the WWE Championship, I think I would feel very differently about it.
Yeah, it'd be far more tolerable. Kevin Owens ended up taking a seat for commentary for the main event. It was AJ Styles versus Baron Corbin. I'll be honest, I wasn't really feeling this. It just didn't really do much for me this week. It was fine, but it just felt quite disjointed to me. I didn't understand why Baron Corbin was in this match with AJ, and he wasn't in the six-pack challenge.
I don't really know what this match was for.
Because when he did the promo earlier on, like Baron Corbin's like, you know, giving AJ shit, and AJ's like, oh, I beat you last week. And he did. So why are we, you know, he won the triple threat, so why, what are we fighting for now? And then in the end, And Corbin gets counted out because AJ hits the phenomenal forearm from the apron to the floor. So Baron Corbin falls into the crowd, and AJ makes a back end wins by count out and celebrates, and that's the end of the show.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought the match was pretty good. I don't think it's going to be bad, you know, because, I mean, AJ Styles is phenomenal, obviously, and I think Baron Corbin is actually pretty good, especially with opponents like AJ Styles. So I was enjoying the match and everything, and I thought it was interesting that they chose to count Baron Corbin out instead of just pinning him. So apparently they're, you know, trying to not give us a finish to that, which makes some sense. They're trying to protect Baron Corbin, but I like the fact that Baron Corbin is still hovering around the United States Championship because he's like, this feels like a big deal. I think, again, the United States Championship and the WWE Championship title scenes have just swapped places, and it's baffling to me because it doesn't make sense that Baron Corbin wasn't in the six-pack challenge. Like, why would confronting AJ Styles backstage about not winning a match, why would that be more important to him than a number one contendership spot for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship? I don't know. The logic is not there for me either.
I think the person that deals with logic on SmackDown Live must have taken a vacation.
Because SmackDown's usually so good. And so maybe the problem is that SmackDown just falters after any kind of draft or shakeup or something. And SmackDown is just going to take a little while to get back on its feet. Like, I have faith that SmackDown can get good again. I just feel like this week was definitely a low point.
So bad.
It wasn't good. I mean, this is the first time in a long time that I was like... And there was stuff I enjoyed on the show. I really enjoyed the Naomi Charlotte stuff. I mean, I enjoyed AJ Styles, Baron Corbin as a match. I don't think it makes all that much sense as to why it was happening, other than maybe they just don't like each other. I would like that to be an actual feud sometime, maybe for the WWE Championship, right? That could be kind of fascinating. Not for... because... no reason? I don't know. It's kind of confusing.
The Naomi Charlotte stuff was good. I enjoyed that. You know, the six-pack challenge actually had its moments of being really good.
Luke Harper was friggin' incredible in that match.
You had Harper in there. You had Sammy and Dolph. Really good. Dolph was good in it. Mojo held his own for what Mojo does. Eric Rowan worked around everybody. And then Jinder was fine, wrestling-wise. But, I just think he's a very... I'm trying to finish this off without being... rant. I've done my rants. I just don't think he's a very interesting performer, and I think that everyone, not everyone, that's unfair, I think a lot of the people who are getting behind this are not getting behind it because they think it's a good idea, but they're getting behind it because it's like the contrarian thing, you know, like, oh, people think this is going to be shit, like maybe it'll be good. And I just think that like a heel faction of wrestlers of Indian heritage angry at America because...
Canadians of Indian heritage. That's their stable.
Canadians of Indian heritage, angry at America, is just a variation on old storylines that have been done before, and it's very out of date. I would prefer to see a baby-faced Jinder Mahal without any of the stereotypes, maybe going after the US title or something. Maybe this six pack was for the US title and he had won it and he was going to go after Kevin Owens and get a match on TV and build his character to at some point down the line. Maybe then you can give him a title shot if you feel the need to. But at the moment, out of nowhere, he's all of a sudden the number one contender for the WWE title. I don't buy it. I don't understand it. I don't think he's very interesting. And now we've got a month to build up Randy Orton versus Jinder Mahal, which is my wrestling version of a Holocaust. So,
I mean, that's a bit harsh. I'd say it's more like purgatory. It's just kind of there.
Well, it's offensive to me. Where is your thumb for this episode of SmackDown, Sandra?
Probably thumbs down. As an episode, it just really wasn't cohesive, and, you know, I'm not as angry about the gender thing as you are.
Not that many people are as angry as I am.
No, I think you're angrier than most of humanity. But just as an episode, I think is more the reason it's a thumbs down. It didn't really feel that cohesive. It didn't really seem like it accomplished all that much, and some of my favorite performers were made to look just like they were just kind of there. So if this is just a stepping stone and it's like if they're building something for the future and if the whole tag division stuff is really just to like build up an actual division and if American Alpha had to be fodder for 1 week to come back looking much better and stronger in the future, fine enough. But it doesn't mean I had to enjoy it this week.
Thumbs down. Couldn't be more down. Worst episode of SmackDown I've had to cover so far. Hated it. Really just hated it. And I hope it gets better. I hope. And again, it's like, if Jinder and the Singh brothers were a faction that were brought in and built, look at Baron Corbin. Like, a year ago, I could not have believed that I would buy Baron Corbin as a semi-main event level performer on SmackDown. But I have because he was built up.
This
feels
like,
things.
Remember last year when everyone was talking about, oh, it's going to possibly be Braun Strowman versus The Undertaker, and nobody wanted to see that because that was sounded like the horrible thing. Like, nobody wanted to see it because we're like, Braun fucking Strowman, he sucks. Like, he's nothing. He's terrible. This feels like if they would have put Braun Strowman versus The Undertaker then versus if they would have done it this past year when everyone would have been like, yeah, fuck yeah, Braun Strowman's the man.
Yep. Yeah,
sometimes you need to build to these things instead of just have it come out of nowhere, because I feel like this is how you got Jack Swagger as World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah. But basically, this episode was taking the wrestling industry back 20 years, showing that xenophobia is alive and well.
And before anyone comments and says, yeah, but you guys love Rusev, he's one of your favorite characters, for some reason, it worked with him.
But Rusev, the thing with... Right. You can do a sort of lazy gimmick if the performer is so charismatic and interesting. Like, Rusev and John Cena was a main event level match at WrestleMania 31. And it felt like it should be there. And it was playing off of current stuff with Russia and all that. And it was cool. And Rusev was a bit of an arsehole. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why it worked. But Jinder Mahal's not really a bad guy. In fact, the problem with Jinder Mahal in this storyline...
This almost seems like a babyface storyline, though.
Yeah, he's a babyface. He's been persecuted for his ethnicity or his way of life or his religion or whatever it is that they're trying to get at. That's
He can't even explain it very well, so that's part of the problem.
And I'm supposed to feel bad for him? Or I'm supposed to feel he's evil?
You're supposed to be like, boo, you going for your dreams.
Pish. Absolute pish. Sandra, where do people find you on Twitter?
Find me on Twitter at SandraRuthRW. Find Kenny on Twitter at KennyMC1985. Follow Inside the Ropes at Inside_the Ropes. Check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/InsideTheRopes. We're going to have our In Your House Revenge of the Taker review up in the next couple days. I still need to actually watch the show, which I will do tonight probably, or tomorrow morning. Lots of other stuff going up on Patreon. We just put up a J.J. Dillon interview. I think Kenny just posted a Jeff Jarrett interview, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, recorded today.
Recorded today, so that's up first for our Patreon listeners. At the $3 level, the In Your House Revenge of the Takers at the $5 level, lots of different tiers and everything. Check us out on the page explains it all. I don't really need to go into all of it here, but I'm so tired and I need to leave for work.
Sandra, thank you for joining us as always, and I hope that we brought you some joy in these deep dark times of SmackDown Live.
I think it'll get better. I think it will. It was just a bad week.
Fuck, I hope so. Have a good week, everybody.
Bye.
To me in a dream last night, you were standing in a brilliant light, warm and I thought you could stay, but I was so wrong. The end is here, the game is over, no more pretending.